it is 11:35 a.m. on Thursday, January 18, 2022. It was present our birthday Richard Sperry and the Chargers Cardinals.
Thank you, Charles Bonholz, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Berner, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, and Dr. Andrew Whitman will be leading our presentation today. So it's not cool here, so it's a big recap on 2021. And the first part of the week, we brought out of the state 2% growth in production year on year. So between 2020 and 2021, that's it's a significant achievement. It also takes a lot to flatten the decline, let alone lead to growth in production. The expectation from the fields is that beyond when they did mature, the expectation is going to see the decline year on year. So, something like the chart you see here on the lower right, the expectation is to see where it all across the field. That's representing natural decline. So, we see that for some assets, as a result of the work that Petals did, we see the growth in production. So, as I said, I want to highlight our work here. We have a bit of a blue unit. As a result of the work that Peter has done in maintaining or improving or enhancing the capacity of the facilities out there, ensuring that all ones that are able to produce are producing, and they can handle the gas and water pumps out there. As well as some drilling, we've observed a growth in production in that particular asset. Moving on to the labor point unit, we see a 20% growth in production. as a result of unconsistent drilling by the broadcasting unit. We've had 6 years of better for average length of walking through the facility challenges that they had to walk through. As a result, we had pressure set of material within the asset, but we've turned it around and have time. So this is your second channel on 95% of our volumes of facilities run as designed to run. So that's an engine from 30% motors we need here before the asset. You should see some decreases in demand in other assets. The park is a big field, so we see production pressure on the second track. That's for an asset that makes over $100,000 for every day. To have $200 in decrease, and that's essentially a flat. And looking to one, you also need to be able to say, but because there's a lot of other challenges that could have been filled for the last one. And we also want to use the DMT and talk about the DMT too, which is within the same asset, but there's another P in there. And we will be able to research in fact the motion there as a result of a lot of drilling. And the hope is to see things change in the next couple of cycles as people's interest in the pandemic and try to get back to where they were in Seattle in the region. So, if no questions, we will just pray. So, here we just highlight some of the key products that are coming up. Obviously, it could be excited about and some of these are already online. So, the time will produce focus. Numbers are going up online, so for our purposes, because we don't see for progress that we have yet to go online. So, within the corner of our unit, the first three lines talk about the government being that unit. So, we have the field west to the park. Obviously, it's only second expansion, and also we don't have the that just been online. So, our affiliates have been working in the central for a long time with these significant. Products, different units in transit. Looking at the very right side of that table, you see expected peak rates for this period. So that shows that we have the expectation that we see some significant contribution from these factors before we get to the point where we get to the peak rate. Of course, on this side, the target marks less rates that will build up. This means that there will be a factory. When we can have the last two projects in this table, bigger development and middle. So these are also projects we are really excited about. A lot of capital work is going into a lot of these projects. Right now, we are aware of the rating between Santos and Safe. But it's not completed, so we plan this to the hope is to see more construction work. So, happening leading up to the first of this project. And I think the expectation for this phase of the project is about 80,000 barrels. And I hope this, once that first phase is sanctioned, so we'll start to walk into the sanctioning of the second phase. Later on, we should see about 40,000 barrels of available capacity in order to work the main system, possibly more. And into that. So we know we all of the decision that required the operator to go back and required to walk through some of the capability builds up to that project forward. So it comes to hopefully see if something without decision for that project and feeling that construction also giving up to the first of that project from then 2025 to 2026. The equation for that, that's around for the operators as well as the 480,000 barrels. So, the working towards the point we show these rates is that these rates will be adding on to the declining base production. So, those rates we have today will not be what we have at the time when this project is formed. So, there will be, we'll see, the amount of growth in production. Response to this acquisition doesn't mean that this projects you worked on, we all have meetings. At that time, you found a decline in terms of your sales time, which is very common to think about that. But more recently, also beyond some. So, 5-4 shows us the forecast that we're generating for the year, this April. So, forecasting. Thank you. is highly appreciated. We have great work on your side, so we know that you have worked on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to all of our members for making great questions. Next up, we're going to hear from the Chief Commons and Technology Deputy Commissioner of the Sector. Actually, congratulations on your calling. It's also available online for questions if you want to go to the futures market. As an estimate, we're looking at potentially an additional $281 million of general fund revenue for fiscal year 2022, and potentially an additional $467 million of revenue for fiscal year 2023. And that is just based on the higher oil prices that we've seen since we came out with the revenue forecast. Just wanted to get that on the record before we jump in. The requirement for the long-term
long-term fiscal plan and deposits of management funding. Development, like you mentioned, is located on the DevTV website, tax.alaska.gov. In addition to the monthly updates, the most visible new forecast will be the spring forecast that will be reported out in between mid-March and early April. Slide 5 is some key economic indicators. The focus of the revenue and learning communities is the economy as a whole is very more broadly than just state revenue. It's the most recent data available as of last week when we updated the slide. So there's GSP product, which is the total value of goods and services in the economy, down slightly in the third quarter, still down 6.3% from the highs in 2018 for the COVID recession. So in terms of the overall value of the economy, not fully recovered from the recession. The fourth quarter data will be interesting with the holidays picking as well as kind of reflecting the increase in the oil price. That part of more data will come out in March this year. So we're looking for that. In terms of jobs, 304,100 jobs in November of 2021. That is up by a little over 7,000 jobs the year before. We are 26,000 jobs have been regained since the lows of the COVID recession, which is good news. But on the other hand, we're still down by over 51,000 jobs on the pre-COVID holidays. This is still a long way to go on the employment side. The biggest industries with job losses have been leisure, hospitality, transportation, and rental construction. Looking at bankruptcies and foreclosures, those two indicators are both doing pretty well, a little below pre-pandemic levels. So between the government support that's been provided by the government programs in particular, and then different private industry programs as well, we really haven't seen the recession challenges that impact on bankruptcies and foreclosures. September wages and salaries, that is what the defendant has recovered to pre-COVID levels. Interestingly, wages and salaries have recovered even while employment is not. So, the idea there is that there's a lot of wage pressure that we're seeing with the type of work right now, and that has offset some of the continued low job numbers. Housing starts. Looking like they're going to be in 2021 about on par with the pre-COVID levels. So that's a really good sign. And then finally, looking at mortgage delinquency rates, those are actually lower than pre-COVID levels. So between the strong labor market, strong housing prices, and different programs, both public and private, to help people stay in their homes, their payments, we haven't seen a major uptick in mortgage delinquency rates, and hoping that that continues. Slide 6, this is some of the key assumptions on the forecast. So, with the continued COVID pandemic, this is a key assumption of uncertainty that we're brought everyone's attention to our approach we already understand to develop one plausible scenario, just be very transparent in what the assumptions behind that scenario are, with understanding that something new could be right around the corner with the COVID situation. So the assumptions on the investment side were forecasting continued stable growth in investment markets. 6% permanent fund return for fiscal 22 and 6.2% permanent fund return assumption for fiscal 23 and beyond. The federal revenue forecast includes all known stimulus funding as of the end of November. We will be able to incorporate a preliminary estimate for our state revenue from the infrastructure forecast in November. On the final side, cash concerns. It's $55 is at 18 cents per barrel. I'm sorry, but there was a price for fiscal 22 and a slightly bit $1 per barrel price for fiscal year 23. With some fairly modest increases hereafter, and the fiscal year 23 oil price assumption is $68 per barrel. The non-economic forecast assumes that most economic activity will have returned to pre-COVID levels for fiscal year 22 and beyond. The one assumption is on the tourism side of things. The cruise forecast is based on an assumption of 1.5 million annual passengers. We did apply a 75% adjustment for the fiscal 22 season just to acknowledge the uncertainty. Slide 7 is a graphic showing relative contributions to total state revenue for fiscal year 2021. You can see that the investment earnings by revenue and petroleum were the three largest sources of state revenue in fiscal 2021. With two major unique events that took place in fiscal 2021, one was that the Cornet Fund returned 29.7%. Returning fiscal 21, so the investment earnings were much higher than any typical year. And then we also have a significant federal revenue from the various stimulus packages. The result being that the $29.8 billion was the highest total state revenue in state history. And that's massive. Services for fiscal year 21, as well as our forecast for fiscal 22 and 23. When you're digging into the revenue from many of the sources pointed out Twitter, and you see the four sources of revenue, investments, federal, petroleum, and non-petroleum. And then there's a set of four different levels of restriction that we present to friends. The first category is unrestricted general funds. This is going to be revenues that are available for general appropriation, not for any purpose by the legislature, and this is typically the category of revenue that most of the policy discussion takes place around. The next category is designated general fund revenues. So these are revenues that are technically available for appropriation, but are customarily restricted for some purpose, customarily appropriated for some specific purpose. And one example of the designated general fund is alcohol tax revenue, where half of the money is customarily appropriated for substance treatment and prevention of alcohol and other substance use. These are the restricted revenue, these are revenues that have a much stronger level of restriction around how they can be used, and they're typically truly not available for general appropriation. So an example would be constitutional dedication of royalties to the permanent private school fund. And then finally, federal receipts are certainly as restricted revenue as the federal government uses. There are provisions about how different federal monies can be used. In some of the presentations, you'll see that they're designated general fund or restricted in federal water. I group data one collects all of the restricted revenue.
And I want to talk about the under restricted revenue, the investment revenue, and the sort of disparity there between the 16 point almost 3 billion and 500 million. So, does it have any other elements? So, the investment revenue is the primary source of investment revenue to the state is the Ice Development Fund. And the way that we reflect this in the revenue forecasting budget that includes is the annual transfer that to the general fund in fiscal year 21, it was 5.25% of the trailing average value of the revenue for fiscal 22 and 23. The barometer transfer is 5% of the trailing general average. And we show that transfer to the general fund is demonstrated general fund revenue. standard investment to $3.1 billion in fiscal year 2021. Any additional money to defend above and beyond that transfer we consider restricted revenue to the buffer restricted category. So the $16.3 billion of other restricted investment revenue from fiscal year 2021 primarily represents earnings of the permit funded by the beyond the market value transfer. And as we mentioned, the permit funds generated nearly a 30% annual return, but then the amount of that that was made available for general appropriation was the 5.25% of the transfer coverage value of the fund.
And as you can see, looking forward, thank you for describing that for us, Mr. Scarlett. As you can see, moving forward in FY 22 and FY 23, we don't expect the same level of direct lending to the creators that we had in what was really the record year for the growing up.
But to respond also to from high school and forward, you know, only that at 20, nearly 30% return in fiscal 21, we're forecasting a little under 6% total return for fiscal 22, with a 6.2% return on the fund for fiscal 23 and beyond. So, just a little bit of what we've got about the statute and the percent of market value appropriation.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so in total, we saw that $29.8 billion of fund state revenue in fiscal 21, and we're forecasting $13.4 billion in fiscal 22 and $14.6 billion in fiscal 23. The tables have some calculations on the current income. The percentage gained in these different line items between 21 and 23 and then between 22 and 23.
Thank you. Can you guys move on to the
structure, right? Sorry, yes. First of all, focusing on the unrestricted revenue forecast on slide 10, because this is probably the basis of most of the discussions around revenue and state budget. Investment revenue is the largest source of unrestricted revenue to the state at this time. Contributed just over $3.1 billion total in fiscal 2021. Estimated to contribute $3.1 billion in fiscal 2022, $3.4 billion in fiscal year 2023. Petroleum generated around $1.2 billion in fiscal 2021 and forecast to generate a little over $2 billion in fiscal 2023. And the contribution from other non-petroleum unrestricted revenue is forecasted to be $375 million in fiscal 2022 and $436 million in fiscal year 2023.
Thank you. If I hear this brief deep sigh, I'm going to sign the increased projections for this upcoming fiscal year.
Summarizing some of the key changes between the spring forecast and the fall forecast. So, for the last couple of prices, our fiscal year 22 forecast was increased by almost $15 per barrel, and our fiscal 23 forecast was increased by $9 per barrel to $71 per barrel. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, current futures market projections indicated that could be some additional upside above and beyond these numbers. But the permanent fund transfer, there was the fiscal year 22 transfer was known last spring when the final budget was passed. That has to do with the fact that the transfer uses a calculation that incorporates the first five of the last 6 fiscal years. But then these funds are on return to the fund for fiscal year 23. Permanent fund transfer forecast was increased by $154 million. So the bottom line for unrestricted revenue was an increase of about $1 billion versus 2022 versus the spring forecast, and then about $800 million for fiscal year 23 compared to the spring forecast. Now, the analyst that was listed on this slide is oil production. There's an increase. It's not directly presented. The forecast is
produced by 27,000 barrels per year in fiscal year 22 and by 24,000 barrels per day in fiscal year 23. And if our comparisons relate to the screen of the last of those 2 years.
Thanks.
So then if we start to dive into each of the major sources of revenue in detail, and the investments,
the CARES Act, companies have
Erasmus program conducts automatically adopts federal provisions into the other state tax code. So we adopted this very backlog provision into our tax. The net impact of this refund was $2.4 million in fiscal year 2021, and we're forecasting $49.6 million impact in our fiscal 22 forecast. So most of those numbers are built into the numbers on the screen here that we have in DLC. The production tax is the state severance tax in oil and gas to the North Slope. It consists of a net profits tax of the gross minimum tax floor. Given where oil prices are at presently, we are anticipating that most contributors will be paying above the minimum tax over the current price of the forecast. So that's where you see kind of the bump up in the production tax forecast there. So looking at just shy of $1 billion in production tax for fiscal 22 and $741 million for fiscal
23. And this is telling you about where the production tax credits will be deducted from the gross liability to reduce our net income to the state of Alaska.
And it's your spell, so the North Slope production, there is a per capita drop credit. And the generalizing the way the tax works is companies calculate their 35% of net profits tax, and they're able to deduct up to $8 per taxable barrel to credit. And so the numbers shown here for the forecast are reflective of the net tax received by the state after deduction of those tax credits, which are integral part of that tax system. There's another set of production tax credits, which were those earned by smaller companies and unit accounts from pre-2016 and 2017, what was the amount of them to get those credits, and because they get those credits purchased by the state, they would put a kind of whole different, situation going on there. We do have a slide that makes it possible to those. But those credits from the potential state purchase are not included in this revenue number.
Okay. And thank you for explaining that. I'm looking at the revenue sources on page 70. You can see, for the public who is curious about this, you can see that in FY22, credits used against tax liability for oil are $1.3 million. And in FY23, they're $1.25 million. $1 million, which in each of these cases are larger than the net amount that tax has been paid to the state. And I think that's just important to have in mind, but they do start to decline over time, going back to below $1 million for the FY27. Fairly substantial credits that are built into the structure of our tax system, as you mentioned earlier.
Families 115 shows some detail for the non-petroleum revenues. So the energy piece of non-petroleum revenue-based taxes. And they're typically near the largest source of tax revenue in the corporate income tax, which did generate a little over $100 million in fiscal year 2021. The forecast for non-petroleum corporate tax is only $15 million for fiscal 22, and then we're finally $220 million for fiscal. Two stories for the FY22 decline. One is just when we're estimating the
the other is the carry back reasons to things after we talked about further. And that's anything from here. We're estimating $6.7 million impact for those CARES Act carry back reasons. We think we're graded to be at some $21. And we are estimating this year to be $6.7 million impact in fiscal 2022. And as I mentioned, we need to see a lot of our bank requesting and so on to get out. Other significant factors include mining taxes, excise taxes, church mining tax, fisheries tax. And then there's a lot of the layout for other non-calibrated individuals in a variety of things. Private forfeiture charges for services, mineral extraction royalties, and other miscellaneous revenue like finance to state and state owned corporations. Spent can be either for an existing user or can be expenditures can be used to offset tax liability for an existing production or a new producer that you can carry forward to one of those expenditures. The production tax has a specific incentive called gross value reduction that allows companies to reduce their tax liability for the first several years of production. It's really a very nuanced question. I would point to the
side of things. Not for production, but the benefit applies for the first 7 years of production, or then through after 3 years of production, the oil prices at $670 per barrel for 15 years. So that gives you a time frame on that benefit that would offset a lot of the provincial taxes. As far as overall build economics, again, it really depends on a lot of facilities.
Did you say that it could be a benefit to your price the first 7 years or after the first 3 years if oil prices exceed $7 per barrel?
Sure, that's what I'm looking at for your 6 3-year funding sources book. So it's if 6 3 is on page 40 of the official PDF that we produced. I understand that some people printed out the latest version, it might be on a different page. But I'm looking at page 40 of mine. Yes, the value for that reduction allows the company to exclude 20-30% of the gross value of production from their net profits tax calculation. And that is for the first 7 years of production from a qualifying field. And then if the average enough price exceeds $70 for any 3 years, then the net benefit ends early.
Thank you very much. That answers all the
questions. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. If we have a new program on our clarification, just go off that well.
Thank you.
and looked good and helped us solve some of the problems that we've been talking to and resolve for many years. And it's a natural agency increase sharding in the form of some oil tax revenue this year, or revenue this year, which will allow us to continue to start paying back the CER. We are responsible for prosecution that we pay in CER after we draw those down, and we have spent about $15 billion from there, but also to the tax revenue and some of the expenses that we have through austerity measures in the last 6 years. Not addressed, which we do recommend that you and I work on education is a strong passion for us. So I look forward to those conversations. The next meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee will be held on Tuesday, February 1st, and we will discuss the long-term policy and talks on our budget and results in raising our local communities and economy, which I think will set the stage for some more conversations about what our long-term strategic investments will look when we make some of this long-term money, as well as our petroleum rate increases, and more details will be forthcoming. But O1B is passing on the opportunity to comment any further on the fiscal plan, because you are completing that data version of their slides, and you have to remember sobering feedback. If you move from the business, if you can go ahead and get them early at 3:04 p.m. during June.